Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 377, as this week we bring you WCW Monday Nitro for November 20th, 1995. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Happy Thanksgiving. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave. Back as a guest host is our good friend Sarah Knight, former contributor over at pwtorch.com. Sarah, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, head to Macon, Georgia, and see if Hulk Hogan turns on Sting in 1995 before he turns on Sting in 1996?
Sure, Pat.
And okay.
Mustache, no less.
Yes, and I know Sarah's excited about Thanksgiving because Sarah's from Michigan, and she knows, and she must be very excited that Detroit's playing a football game today.
Well, they are, but actually, I have a Jell-O salad to prepare to take that because I am from the Midwest.
There's nothing wrong with that.
In the Midwest, we have Jell-O salad at Thanksgiving.
Okay. That's a choice. Yes, I understand that. Is there fruit in the Jell-O salad?
There's pineapple and coconut in the Jell-O salad, and it's flavored like strawberries.
That's good.
It also contains whipped cream and sour cream.
Okay, folks. Sarah will be. If you can contact Sarah at Esoteric Sarah on Twitter, she'll provide the full recipe for you. Did you know that?
We call it pink Jell-O salad because that's what color it is.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yes.
All right.
It does not jiggle like Jell-O because you do not actually make the Jell-O.
J-E-L-L-O?
Jell-O can be mixed with sour cream.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So ratings. Yeah. We're on the rankings again. Thank you everybody for being a part of Wayback Playback here on our 8th Thanksgiving episode. Don't forget you can sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And get bonus episodes, get episodes in advance, episodes without commercials. You know, I think Sarah's fond of episodes without commercials for some reason. Not because of Peacock.
Yeah, all right, so loves me. I tried to play all the commercials already, Pat. We'll see if it worked.
Okay. So anyway, welcome to Monday. This is Monday night, November 20th, 1995. Now, Sarah, you have to remember, this is the early days of WCW Monday Nitro. And that means, for one thing, this show is 1 hour. It doesn't go to 2 hours until 1996. But this is 1995 in WCW, and the show just started a couple months ago, and WCW wasn't drawing a lot of fans back then, so much so that they did their syndicated tapings at Disney Studios in Orlando, and they taped like 3 months worth at a time.
I wonder where TNA got that idea from.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Let's see. So the best they have drawn so far for Nitro is they drew 4,458 paid customers at Rosemont Horizon in Chicago on October 9th for the Nitro that had the Ric Flair versus Arn Anderson cage match.
Does the Rosemont Horizon still exist, or is it called like the
it's called Taco something
Bell
else.
Tostitos?
It's called something else, but it exists. Okay. So WCW is in Macon, Georgia at the Macon Coliseum. And
is that still called the Macon Coliseum, or is that like
pretend it is. Well, the best thing about Macon, Georgia is they had a minor league hockey team there in the 70s, and the clever owner came up with the name of the Macon Whoopies. So there you go.
Dear God, they could just name these hockey teams whatever they wanted.
That's the idea. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
So since the show was only an hour, they put on dark matches to so the people didn't feel ripped off after paying for like a 1 hour show. There's 6,000 people in attendance at the Macon Coliseum, which is about the capacity of it. And of that, 1,500 were paying customers, according to the Wrestling Observer. For Hogan versus Sting. Anyway, the dark matches.
Well, that's because he had no mustache, Pat.
We're getting to that.
For mustache, yes.
All right. In the dark matches, we had the great Dave Sullivan defeating the Gambler. The American males, Buff Bagwell and our friend Scotty Riggs, defeated the Barrio brothers of Ricky Santana and Fidel Sierra. And the WCW television champion, Johnny B. Badd, defeated Diamond Dallas Page in what was apparently the best match of the night, including all the matches we're about to see. So that's good.
Probably because Johnny B. Badd had his mustache.
That's probably it. Also, the previous WCW show, again, they weren't doing a lot of house shows. They taped WCW Saturday Night back at Center Stage on I think it was Thursday the 16th. They taped a couple of episodes of Saturday Night on which you had the main event for the next week's WCW Saturday Night, which is Lex Luger defeating Jerry Lynn. You also had, they also did Jim Duggan defeating VK Wall Street, aka Michael Wall Street, aka Mike Rotundo, by disqualification. And
were
the Nasty Boy.
To know that those were Vince McMahon's initials.
Yes, that was, yes, that's the funny part. Ha ha.
Supposed to know that in 1995, though.
Apparently, jeez, you were. The Nasty Boys beat the Super Assassins. You might be wondering who the Super Assassins are.
A little bit.
They took the powers of pain and put masks on them and called them the Super Assassins.
Okay.
And in a storyline that plays out on the December 4th episode of WCW Main Event, Max Muscle officially turns babyface against Diamond Dallas Page.
Who is Max Muscle?
DDP's bodyguard.
Who we never heard from again. Okay.
Well, he stayed employed. He was one of those guys who stayed. He was one of those guys who stayed employed by WCW without actually wrestling a lot. Because, you know, for every guy they signed in like 1988 or 1999, they had a better wrestler on the roster that they had forgotten about completely.
Well, so, based on the fact that I'm reading his name on Wikipedia right now, I see why his name was Max Muscle.
You do? Okay. That's good.
Zelitko?
Something like that. All right. Meanwhile, this
my
is
people are from there and even I can't pronounce that. Wow.
Very good. Okay, so meanwhile, it's Monday night, so Raw is on, correct? Got that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Raw is at the Richmond Coliseum in Richmond, Virginia, where they drew 4,500 people. And last I checked, that's still called the Richmond Coliseum, by the way.
Oh, it's not the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl Richmond Coliseum.
No, it's not that.
Max Michael is dead, sadly, Pat.
Yes, it is very sad. He's not the only dead wrestler we'll see on this show. Okay. Now, November 20th is one night after the 1995 WWF Survivor Series, on which Bret Hart recaptured the WWF title from Diesel. Just to keep you posted.
Who was not Max Muscle.
No, he's definitely not Max Muscle. Okay, so they had so WWF planned a loaded episode of Raw, obviously, for the night after Survivor Series. Scheduled was Hakushi taking on the 1-2-3 Kid, Sean Waltman, and a main event of Shawn Michaels versus Owen Hart, which had a big...
Which I would have watched.
Yeah.
Enough not for the Shawn Michaels.
That had a big finish where Shawn Michaels took a kick from Owen Hart and got knocked out and sold it like he'd been knocked out. And they got him out. They took the paramedics and got him out. It was a big angle. Because Shawn Michaels was still injured from getting beaten up by a Marine in Syracuse after hitting on the Marine's girlfriend or something, while the other guys he was with kept the other wrestlers away so that they couldn't protect Shawn Michaels. You might have heard that story before.
Yeah, I have.
Yes, but also probably helped that Shawn was drunk and/or stoned off out of his mind and really wasn't going to put up much of a fight anyway. But Shawn Michaels needed more time off, so that's why they did the storyline where Owen Hart beat him into unconsciousness.
In the ring. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Also on that Raw, they're taping one episode of Superstars plus two more episodes of Raw. They're taping the November 25th Raw Superstars, where the WWF Tag Team Champions, the Smoking Guns, defeated the Body Donnas. The main event. Okay, and the November 27th Raw, they announced the main event will be Undertaker taking on Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine, who you might know better as The Godfather.
The Godfather, yes. That was a terrible gimmick. Why did anybody think that Kama thing was going to work?
It was UFC, because they were doing a UFC thing because they were making fun of Chemo from Ultimate Fighting.
The guy was that exactly really what it was supposed to be? Because
yes!
Like, Kama is like a Sanskrit name that means like love.
So in 1995, you thought Vince McMahon knew that?
No, but I figured somebody could have picked up a baby name book and read it, because I had definitely read one.
In 2004, they tried to introduce Kenzo Suzuki as Hirohito before somebody got hold of the office and told them, hey, that might be a bad idea.
They apparently had a lot of bad ideas.
Yes. Talk to.
They could have used the internet back in 1995.
They didn't have much of the internet. Talk to Bruce Pritchard. Listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast if you want to know all the bad ideas that you got used and didn't get used. And also, they taped the December 4th Raw, headlined by Razor Ramon defending the Intercontinental title against Dean Douglas. And this was coming to the end of Shane Douglas's run. He hated WWF and ended up leaving to go back to ECW. Plus dark matches and what's that?
Where he was on the top of the card most of the time.
Yeah, go figure. Where they treated him like a champion. Plus the dark matches of Davey Boy Smith defeating Diesel by disqualification and Bret Hart defeating The Undertaker by disqualification. Meanwhile, ECW...
Slightly more impressive than The Gambler.
Well, of course. Yeah, you know The Gambler. You know, on a warm summer's evening, on a train down for nowhere.
I listened to that song this weekend at work, so...
Okay. All right, so you're going to stop making fun of my taste in music then. Great. November to November 1995.
The Little River Band, Pat? I don't know.
Everybody likes a Little River Band. November to remember 1995 at the ECW Arena on November 18th, 1995, in front of 1,150 people. The triumphant return of Sabu to ECW. Also, that show is in our archives. Go to Patreon where Jim and I reviewed that show. On that show, it was the ECW heavyweight champion Mikey Whipwreck defeating superstar Steve Austin in Steve Austin's first ECW wrestling appearance. He would leave 3 weeks later to go to the WWF. And in the main event, in a no disqualification, falls count anywhere match, which is pretty much what all of ECW matches were back in that day, Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer defeated Raven and Stevie Richards.
Dear, good show. Sweet Raven. Back when Raven had good hair.
True. All right. Smoky Mountain Wrestling was supposed to have a TV taping in Damascus, Virginia. They canceled that. They canceled all the shows for that weekend because they were losing money. But don't worry, they've got their Thanksgiving shows coming up, and that'll help them get back on the right track. The previous
foreshadowing something, Pat.
Get with me in about 45 minutes, Sarah. We'll go over that. Previous Smoky Mountain Wrestling show was November 11th in Morristown, Tennessee, in front of 400 people. On that show, it was the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, defeating the Thugs in a hospital elimination match, and Buddy Landell beat Tommy Rich in a cage match. Yes.
Who were the Thugs?
The Thugs were Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony and Tracy Smothers, the late Tracy.
Okay, that was not what I pictured, but all right.
No, you're thinking of the Gangstas.
They
were back in ECW at this point. Again, spoiler alert. USWA, Jerry Lawler and his friends, they had done a show the previous Monday in Memphis at the Mid-South Coliseum on November 13th. On that show, it was for the USWA title. Tex Slasinger beat Brian Christopher by disqualification. And let's see. And in the main event, it was Jeff Jarrett taking on Jesse James Armstrong, better known as the Road Dog Jesse James, better known as BG James, what have you. In a match for control of the USWA and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Jeff Jarrett won.
Did Jim Cornette know about that?
Jim was aware of the storyline at the time, and they were planning to do something with the USWA. Jeff Jarrett allegedly won control of Smoky Mountain Wrestling in that match. So
not get to book himself on top.
No, well, that came later. Okay, the pro wrestling news for that week, other than the news we've covered. Federal prosecutors are investigating jury tampering in the 1994 Vince McMahon steroid trial. I know you're shocked. Allegations is that defense attorney Laura Brevetti had her husband, Marty Bergman, pose as a TV producer and offer a witness $300,000 to sell her story to Marty Bergman and not talk to the prosecutors. Nobody was ever charged for that, though. Allegedly.
Wrestling.
Yes. Bret Hart winning the WWF title was seen by many in WWF as a political move against the power of the clique. You might have known the clique. They're the five friends who were tight with Vince McMahon and had a lot to do with WWF storylines. There was also a rumor that while the clique was pushing that Hunter Hearst Helmsley should be the next Intercontinental Champion, Vince McMahon was going to go with Dustin Rhodes, a.k.a. Goldust.
Interesting choice.
Yes, and Jerry Lawler needs some of the workload taken off of him as the top heel announcer, and he also owns half of Memphis, so he'd like to wrestle there occasionally on a Monday. So Kurt Hennig comes back to WWE as the B-team announcer. He will be announcing for Superstars, and later I guess we'll do something with Raw.
I vaguely remember that.
Yes. All right. Now the cultural touchdowns for November 20th, 1995. Your New York Times bestsellers in its seventh week at number one on the fiction charts, The Lost World by Michael Crichton. It is the sequel to Jurassic Park. the book, and I
think I'm aware. Jurassic Park is viewed frequently in this household, and not by me.
Oh, okay.
One of us just loves Jurassic Park. It's weird.
You notice that I don't drag my wife on these shows. I just wanted to know that. My American Journey by Colin Powell with Joseph E. Persico in its eighth week at number one on the nonfiction charts. And the smartest thing Colin Powell ever did, not running for president, by the way. The number one song on the Billboard charts. Do you want to take a stab at this one?
I don't know. Stone Temple Pilots. It's going to end up being Celine Dion. Whatever.
You're close. It's the young woman who we called, when we were in radio, we called her Pariah Carey. Mariah Carey, Fantasy, eighth week at number one. Top movie in the country.
What was the song, Pat?
Something, something, a fantasy, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't listening to a lot of Mariah.
Were you just saying Butterfly and Glitter a lot to yourself?
Yeah. Just YouTube it, kids. I can't do everything. Top movie in the country. You want to shout at this one, too, or?
I don't know, Pat, because I don't.
You may have seen it.
Unless it was Jurassic Park, probably not.
It would be GoldenEye, starring Pierce Brosnan as James Bond and Sean Bean as the evil 006.
I'm pretty sure my mother has seen it, though, because she had a little old lady crush on Pierce Brosnan.
So, trivia note, Sean Bean went from being a James Bond villain to playing Mr. Wilford on the TNT drama Snowpiercer. Mr. Wilford is the Snowpiercer version of Donald Trump and dresses and looks like Donald Trump. So, I thought you'd get a giggle out of that. In the top news story, President Bill Clinton and Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich end the government shutdown by agreeing to a temporary spending measure. And since then, we have had 26 years of temporary spending measures, but that's an entirely different story. In the NBA, the Utah Jazz go to 9-2 by defeating the New Jersey Nets at home 105-79. Chris Morris, who just
got... Does the New Jersey Nets still exist?
They are now the Brooklyn Nets.
Jesus.
You didn't ask about the Utah Jazz, but the team was
they
originally
still
known
exist.
As.
I've heard of
no,
them.
The team was originally known as the New Orleans Jazz before they decided not to change the name. Yes.
Because there's some Morris, jazz in Utah with all the black people in Utah.
Yes, right. You've heard of the Mormon Tabernacle Jazz Choir, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Chris Morris had played seven seasons in New Jersey. In his first season in Utah, he led all scorers with 22 points. Utah had a really good team that year. They ended up being in the Final Four, losing to Seattle. But their big season was 96-97. And which future WCW wrestler was their big star, Sarah?
Carl Malone.
Carl the Mailman Malone. Very good. Congratulations. Also, if you weren't watching Raw or Nitro, you may have been watching Monday Night Football, on which the San Francisco 49ers beat the Miami Dolphins 44-20 in Miami. Both teams were 6-4. Steve Young was injured, but Elvis Gerback started at quarterback for San Francisco and threw for four touchdown passes, two to Jerry Rice, two to Brent Jones.
Did he have a more famous brother?
Elvis Gerback?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. Why?
Last name sounds familiar, but I don't remember that.
Could it be that Elvis Gerback was from Michigan?
Oh.
Could that be it? I'm just throwing that out there.
That's probably.
See, I remember this thing. I remember this because my team won fantasy football in '95, thanks to Jerry Rice. Dan Marino got hurt, and Bernie Kosar ended up filling in for him in the last drive for Miami. Oh, and let's see. The other stuff.
Oh my God, Gerback virtually has no vowels in it. Wow.
Gerbac. Yes, that's correct. Very good. Okay. Now I think we're. We'll pause for this commercial message on behalf of our patron. Okay, so we're on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. You know this by now, unless you're one of the people who's on Patreon, because the people on Patreon get to skip through the commercials because we don't put any commercials in the version we upload to Patreon, Sarah.
Oh, okay. Those people are special.
Those people are special, yes, and you can be one of them. All of those people who subscribe to Patreon, no matter what tier they're on, they get every episode of this show, and there are 376 episodes of this show.
Pat, are you reading Manscaped commercials?
No, we're not doing that at the moment. Although if they pay us again, I'll be glad to go back to reading Manscaped commercials. I'm okay with that. And
do you
Blue
read
Chew.
Them as enthusiastically as Jim Cornette
does? I don't think I can. I think we did a great job on Blue Chew commercials. So you would think that they'd want us back for that. We're not selling the mushroom powder either. I don't know why not. But anyway. Yeah, any of those commercials, any ads, we take those out of the podcast just for you, the patrons. Plus, for those of you patrons who are on the Black Scorpion tier, we do special bonus episodes and special bonus messages just for you. As a matter of fact, Sarah and I did one recently. It was Primetime Wrestling from, I want to say, 1986. Oh, yes, and with a main
poor
event.
Bobby Heenan and his little weasel doll.
Yes, with Ray Rougeau against Bret Hart was the featured bout on that one.
And Bret Hart spent a lot of time not being in that match.
Yep.
Pranced around doing nothing.
That's true. That's what heels did in that era. They chickened out. We'll try to find something special for Sarah and I to do on Patreon this week, I think. We should have up the one that I did with Shane Shadows, where we went through and did a watch along of the first episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And that was kind of special, actually. You don't get to see Bobby Fulton against Ivan Koloff every day, especially now that Ivan's dead.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Is Bobby Fulton dead, too?
No. He was recovering from a procedure, but he is not dead.
Okay. So that was Tommy Rogers.
Yeah, I'm afraid it was Tommy Rogers.
Yeah. Half of every tag team is, like, gone.
I know. I'll try to find something special for you to watch, Sarah. Let's see. Because there's a lot of awful wrestling that we can cover.
It has to be awful, does it?
Well, do you have any recommendations?
No, I don't, Pat.
Okay.
I'm just gonna go with whatever you go with.
There you go, folks. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Plus you get every episode that Jim ever did and that Jim and I did together, and every episode that Sarah was on. And I think that's wonderful. I think Sarah explaining the main event of SummerSlam 88 was probably one of the highlights of our listeners' experience with Wayback Playback. So you should definitely be a part of that. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. We look forward to seeing you over there, and thank you for your patronage. And we're ready to go, Sarah. I am at November 20, 1995 on Peacock. I am at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Pat.
Are you also at 0 minutes and 0 seconds?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a black screen?
Yes, I do. Every time I stop moving the mouse, it goes back to black.
Are your commercials over?
Yeah, they are. Until I press play and find out there's another commercial.
Well, let's hit play together then in 3, 2, 1. Okay, is there a commercial?
No.
All right, here we go. It's the Way Cool WCW Monday Nitro intro, folks. This was state of the art in 95.
And Hulk Hogan does have his mustache in this commercial.
Yeah, that video, yes. Okay, see, Hulk Hogan was tired of being booed, which the fans have been booing him ever since he arrived in WCW because he's Hulk Hogan. That's really all they needed. So they tried a bunch of things. They tried, okay, let's
Hadn't
not...
Have you been to WCW before, though?
What's that?
Hadn't he been to WCW before, though?
No, it started in 94.
Okay.
The Brain, Heenan, and Steve Mongo McMichael is here with his dog Pepe. And when they named Chavo Guerrero's stick horse Pepe, that was totally not a shot at Steve Mongo McMichael and his stupid dog. Absolutely not. Totally not.
Why is the dog wearing a costume?
I don't know. I think a young Paris Hilton watched this and got some ideas.
And I think its costume matches Steve McMichael's outfit.
Yes, you've noticed that too.
Very weird.
Yes. Do not leave us for 1 second. Definitely do not tune into the other show. Because we have Hulk Hogan versus Sting. This is the Super Bowl of wrestling tonight. Tony Schiavone's sitting at home going, why doesn't he just say it's the greatest night in the history of our sport?
Why was Tony Schiavone not there?
Because Eric Bischoff was the booker. So he booked himself as the head announcer.
But they had Tony Schiavone.
Yes. You understand then.
This makes no sense.
Eric Bischoff's in charge, so Eric Bischoff's the head announcer. Much like Vince McMahon was in charge, so Vince McMahon was the head announcer. Even though they had better announcers.
Yeah.
So Bobby Heenan is not interested in what Heenan is saying
at all.
So if you missed it, Bobby Heenan is rooting for Sting to beat Hulk Hogan, then trip on his way out of the ring, hit his head and fall down the stairs and knock himself unconscious.
Okay.
Very specific, but it's very on brand.
No one.
Okay, let's get that hot opening match out of the way. From Minneapolis, Minnesota, former IWGP Tag Team Champion Scott Flash Norton. And of course, you might be thinking of the comic book hero, the Flash. Or if you're me, you're thinking of Flash, the dog of Roscoe P. Coltrane in Dukes of Hazzard. Get him, Flash! You know,
the entire time I watched Dukes of Hazzard, because I'm a little bit deaf, I thought that man's name was Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Coltrane.
Yeah, I did not get that. I thought the last name was Pico Train.
Oh, he's a Pico Train?
Yes. And you know
Pico
what?
Pico de Gallo Train?
I am not the only person that thought that, because I have typed it into the internet and other people thought it too. So, right, yay, so, deaf people.
Yes, so yeah, that's Scott Norton taking on the Shark. You might recognize
the Shark, who I had to Google earlier, because I
that's
did
John
not,
Tenta.
Did not remember this.
He's not to be confused with Shark Boy, Shark Girl, or the Shark Attack Kid.
Who is the Shark Attack Kid?
I don't remember. I'd have to look it up. But there was a guy in ECW called the Shark Attack Kid.
Who is it exactly that looked at John Tenta and went, you know what, Shark?
Well, Kevin Sullivan was booking, so I can and I can blame him.
Okay.
But they wanted a big, scary cartoon character like Bad Guys. And so John Tenta,
the tights were the... You know, like the underwear was on the outside, because he has to keep pulling these up.
Yes, that's a problem. That's a problem that heavy-set men have, yes. Yeah, that's why Big Bubba Rogers wearing a belt was such a good idea, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. All right. Suspenders would have been a good choice, too. Eventually, they decided to make John Tenta into Avalanche, and therefore they didn't have to do a lot of work with that. He already had most of the tights and stuff.
Yeah, he could have gotten the Scott Norton thing. He's not pulling his tights up every 3 seconds.
No, that's a good singlet Scott Norton has. But then again, Scott Norton's a professional, and he's worked a lot in Japan. And yeah.
He's also not dressed like a shark.
Yeah, that's true. Big, scary shark, yeah. Yes, basically Eric Bischoff says, if you want to know what's going on other wrestling shows, call our 900 line. And then he got the 900 number wrong, but that's okay.
As opposed to just using your remote control, which definitely existed in 1995?
No, his whole point is you don't want to use your remote control because you don't want to miss a second of Nitro, not even the commercials. And there's a power slam and Scott Norton's finished him off. Thank you.
Not even for the shark match?
Yeah, that was definitely a choice leading with that match.
So wait, is the shark going to hit him from behind now?
Would the shark do that? That doesn't sound like
a shark. There's Nick Patrick's mullet. I told you he had a mullet.
Yeah, that's not a very shark thing to do, is it? Attack Scott Norton from behind?
Yes, it is. Uh-oh, there's a shoving match.
They're not done yet. Okay, so Eric Bischoff's talking about how Scott Norton used to be a bouncer.
Oh my God, he shaved shark things into his beard.
Yes. And your point is?
I believe my point was, oh my God.
There we go.
Before Manscaped exists, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is quite a power slam, by the way. That's good. John Tenta, very good at getting up for that sort of stuff. And Scott Norton, big and muscular.
Yeah. Scott Norton has a very understated tattoo there.
Yes, he does.
That was before kids had to tattoo the entire arm.
Yes, so I'm told. All right, don't leave us now, folks. It's a commercial.
Well, at least they didn't light the arena like it was NXT.
No, they didn't. Not back then. But that was about as good, big as it got there. Okay, so there's the music. And up next, Eddie Guerrero versus Ric Flair. But this Sunday on pay-per-view, the biggest battle royal in wrestling history.
Why does it say Eddie Guerrero versus Ric Flair, but that's not what it ends up being?
Well, now, don't spoil it for the people. They're here for entertainment. Jesus. So there are three rings and three giants, one giant in each ring, in a 60-man battle royal to determine the new WCW champion.
Ah! Like a good idea to them?
Yes, it seemed like a great idea to them. Okay. So they had World War III, but then the next year they came back and did another World War III. You think they would have gone to World War IV or World War III Part II? I don't know.
That's not how that works.
Kevin Sullivan, who's obviously standing on a box, is there with Jimmy Hart and Mean Gene Okerlund, because Kevin Sullivan's short.
Yeah, and he's really close to Gene Okerlund's back. If I was Gene Okerlund, I'm not sure I would have turned in that direction.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I'm backed up a
Are you
little
saying
bit.
Kevin Sullivan's a sketchy character?
Let me stand behind you. You can stand in front.
Well, then you wouldn't get to see that nice suit that Gene's wearing. Sting is trying to convince Jimmy Hart's trying to convince Sting to come over to his side because Sting can't trust Hulk Hogan, which.
Okay.
Which, you know, probably true.
Not really sure how that logic works.
Well, see, because you know, Hogan has a new best friend, that's Randy Savage. And that's why, and Sting didn't get invited to do Thunder in Paradise or Baywatch. Randy Savage did.
Okay.
See, there's logic there. Of a sort. Look, think of all the crappy.
The two men with receding hairlines wearing extremely low bandanas there.
Kevin Sullivan says, at least I'm not wearing a bandana.
But he does have strange forehead paint.
Well, because he's evil, see? See, that forehead paint symbolizes that he's evil. And
but he's wearing yellow, Pat.
He's wearing yellow and red to make fun of Hulk Hogan.
Yellow is not really the color of evil people.
Well, it was Hulk Hogan's color.
Okay.
Yep.
But he was a good guy for most of his reign. And when he became a bad guy, he stopped wearing yellow.
Mostly. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so, yes. So, Kevin Sullivan thinks because the Dungeon of Doom has the Giant and Kamala and the Shark and all the other big guys that one
the
of them is going to
win. Lost.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that.
Oh, the dog is still there.
Well, yeah, where else would
the dog go? The dog is staring in the right direction.
That's good. Dog's like, what's with that guy's hair? It's like he dyed it with shoe polish. That's what the dog is saying.
Yeah, well, I've seen him with the gray hair, and I don't know that that's really an improvement, Pat.
No, that's fair. That's fair. It was kind of jarring the first time Eric came out on television on WCW, and he let his hair go gray.
Yeah. Oh, the dog is done. The dog is done with this.
I think they're lucky the dog isn't peeing on Steve's format sheet there.
Probably.
It's a very well-trained dog.
Did the dog really agree to sit there for that long?
Yes.
I guess it is only an hour, but still.
You may have missed it. I had closed captioning, so I didn't. When the Shark and Scott Norton are throwing fists at each other, Eric Bischoff says, "Boy, those two men are pounding salt." And I'm like, "Pounding salt? What the hell?"
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. Maybe I'll look it up on the Urban Dictionary. God knows what I'd find. All right. why is Disco Inferno coming out? He's not Eddie Guerrero, nor is he Ric Flair. But it's Monday night, and he has his new CD to promote.
Was that a real CD?
That was a real there is a CD in that case. Yes, I think they just printed out something fake, but they were not selling Disco Inferno CDs in WCW. Mm. Although they would have made a fortune.
Disco Inferno is bothering Eddie Guerrero during his walk out to the ring.
Now this is a new Eddie Guerrero. He's been there for like I think less than 3 months now, after jumping from ECW.
He used to have a sparkly jacket. Where did that go? Hmm. Oh, pounding salt does not mean something that we should say on this show, probably.
Really?
I've been to the Urban Dictionary. Okay.
I'll look on the QP.
It's a slang term for masturbating, which I think you're
allowed to say on the air, but not encouraged. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So they're pounding salt, folks.
I do not know why Eric Bischoff said that.
I don't know. Maybe he was talking about Steve McMichael and the dog.
Jacket and in his fringe.
That's evil four horsemen, Brian Pillman.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now here's the story. They did announce Ric Flair versus Eddie Guerrero. However, Ric Flair is wearing
khakis.
Flair got injured and didn't get cleared to wrestle, but they're not going to say that.
No. Okay. So how did Flair get injured?
He was wrestling one of those squash matches for TV against Joey Meggs.
So what was his particular injury, Pat? That's what we're trying to get
to. I don't
here.
Remember.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember all of Ric Flair's injuries. Come on. That's kind of ridiculous. Ric Flair's going to tell Eddie Guerrero he doesn't wrestle. He's not going to wrestle the likes of Eddie Guerrero 6 days before the pay-per-view. Yeah. So by likes of Eddie Guerrero, he doesn't mean anything racist this time. He just means Eddie Guerrero is not a lower card guy. So it's going to be Eddie Guerrero versus Brian Pillman, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, by the way.
Brian Pillman is smiling for this one, unlike the last time that I saw him come out as a heel and he was all morose and in a bad mood.
Well, he's starting to enjoy himself. Plus, he got made a member of the Four Horsemen, which is, you know, something.
He looks thinner than he was the last time I saw him.
Yep. Yay. What an insult to Eddie Guerrero.
Well, the internet doesn't want to tell me how Ric Flair injured himself against Joey Maggs, so it just wants to tell me that Joey Maggs is dead.
Which we already knew. Rest in peace, Joey Maggs.
How did Joey Maggs die?
I don't know. He died from being a wrestler. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't say on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, they don't know either. All right, so Eddie Guerrero and Brian Pillman.
Well, at least they did a lockup.
And Eric Bischoff says, whatever you do, don't flip back and forth, you know, because that's going to work. Yeah, the big boys play. Yes. So most people weren't doing like I was doing, which is watching Raw live and then watching Nitro on the replay.
Well, actually, some people did do that.
Yeah.
I used to do that back in college.
Good for you. All right, there we go.
Although, actually, VCR technology existed back then, and you could
watch
it live, and you could record the other one.
That's true, too. Yep. Well, I would actually be... Well, see, the way I did it, I could record both shows.
700 times.
Oh! All right.
That was impressive.
Yay, Brian. Yeah, Brian was impressive back before the car accident. He was a tremendous wrestler. The match of all matches still to come, by the way, Sarah. And that's going to be Road Warrior Hawk against Big Bubba Roger. Oh, wait, no.
Brian Pillman biting Eddie Guerrero.
He's a bad guy.
That was weird.
No, this is not pay-per-view. Yeah, I think people know it's not pay-per-view. Pay-per-view doesn't come on after In the Heat of the Night on TNT.
My mother had a crush on Bubba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember Bubba?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, any time, if he appeared in like 3 or 4 minutes before Nitro came on, then yeah. I do.
I'm pretty sure he made it to the end of the show every episode.
Okay.
Brian Pillman just whispered a sweet nothing in Eddie Guerrero's ear there.
Well, hey, you know, what they do on their own time is not my business. All right. There we go. Down to the... Yes, they're calling spots in the ring, kids. That's what wrestlers do. At least they used to.
Yeah.
Hey.
They're also not both wearing black, which is impressive.
I know.
Apparently, they no longer make colored spandex because everybody on every one of these shows wears the same damn outfit.
I know. I mean, they used to be sticklers for that in WCW. Somebody from WCW actually gave me their booking sheets where it says, you know, pack more than one color outfit. I think that was James J. Dillon who did that, so. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, who wants to see two guys, you know, who wants to see two guys wearing black fighting each other?
Two people wearing the exact same outfit so that you can barely
And B, you know, pick another color. I mean, if everybody's wearing black, then wear something else.
Yeah, Zelina Vega had an impressive orange colored outfit this week.
Mm,
I looked up at the TV at one point and just went, wow, orange, that's a bold choice.
No, I live down the road from Clemson, South Carolina, and orange is not necessarily a bold choice here.
Well, black and orange were that was my high school's colors too, and none of us girls wanted to wear anything with orange on it. We were like, who picks this?
Ours were brown and gold for some reason.
Yeah, nobody knows who picks those colors.
It was a Catholic school. So. All right, Power Slam.
Mine
another
was a
Power
public
Slam.
School.
What?
Public and, school, buddy.
Right. Okay. It's amazing you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Whatever. Graduated with a GPA of 4.33, repeating out of 4.
In public school.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Advanced placement classes passed.
Great. And here you are on the same podcast I am.
I know. I'm sure you took some AP classes.
I did, actually.
Went to college and got a degree in something.
I did. I got a couple of somethings. Anyway, the Cradle of Cram here at WCW. What the heck is a Cradle of Cram, Bobby?
I don't know. I thought he said creme de la creme.
Oh, the creme de la creme. See, I'm reading the closed captioning.
Oh, okay. Well,
the closed captioning, the closed captioning people get very confused when Steve McMichael starts talking for some reason.
Yeah, they did not get that.
Oh, there's a good idea. Ooh, line Brian the guy up against the railing and then jump towards the railing.
At least he sold it.
Oh, of course he sold it. He's Brian Pillman.
These people nowadays, they jump onto something and 3 seconds later, they're fine.
Kids these days.
Damn kids. They had smaller ring steps back then, too.
Yeah, they did. Now, that's a good move, Eddie. Eddie was the man.
I think Eddie is high-fiving a fan.
He's a good guy. All right.
The fans were behaving themselves, unlike that one fan on Raw last night.
Yeah, seriously. I would not want to be the fan who tried to jump the railing and go after Brian Pillman.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't want to be the fan that jumped the railing and went after either one of these. And by the way, infamous WCW cameraman in the shot just happened.
Well, of course. You didn't think they changed anything in the past 6 years or so, did you?
They've gotten a little better at it.
That's true.
He's only been in the shot for one match so far.
Okay, now after the break, we're going to take according to Eric Bischoff, we're going to take a look at the nasty injury that happened to Randy Savage last week.
Oh, Eddie Guerrero spent way too much time on that top rope doing whatever the hell that was. Did he not realize that was going to happen?
Yeah, so. Okay, so Mrs. Guerrero might be parting his hair to go into the bathroom after that one. That's apparently what Steve McMichael said. I don't want to know. Dear God, I don't want to know.
Poor Steve McMichael.
No wonder Deborah McMichael left him. That's all I can say.
Did he ever have good lines? Well, Eddie Guerrero has recovered from his grievous mid-second.
Mongo wrote his own material, so no, he really
didn't. He just won the match.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah. Although, there you go. All right. Although I'll give you this. Mongo seemed to be the only one paying attention to this match, so I gotta give him that. Brainbuster, yeah, sort of. And they actually got the video of this.
That's impressive.
Yes.
That it wasn't a video of the cameraman.
Oh, I mean, 96 Rey Mysterio came in and they're like stuff that, and then there was like stuff on pay-per-view that got missed because the cameras were pointing in the wrong place and didn't know where the hell Rey Mysterio was.
Well, Rey Mysterio is a very small man. It's like a leprechaun just floating around out there.
All right, and Disco Inferno got on television. That's the other highlight there.
He had to do something.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Okay, there you go. Yay! All right, stay with us, folks. There's more wrestling. Take a close-up look at the injury to Randy Savage.
At least they didn't light the arena like it was NXT.
Yep, they didn't. Well, first of all, this is the Macon Coliseum. You can only do so much. Yes, I think Steve McMichael just howled like a werewolf.
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right, Road Warrior.
I wonder if the dog.
I don't think the dog can howl that way. Maybe the dog can surprise me. Now, on WCW Saturday Night, Lex Luger's in the main event. They don't mention it's against Jerry Lynn, but he is in the main event. You also get to see Hugh Morris.
Oh, young Hugh Morris.
Yes, and of course VK Wall Street.
IRS.
And the Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno.
That's right. If you want more Disco Inferno, this Saturday on TBS, 6:05 mm-hmm. Eastern.
He had some fun tights.
Yep.
And I am sure that is how any grown man would like their wrestling career to be summed up. Disco Inferno. He had some fun tights.
You know what? I've seen some of the things people say to Disco online, and that's definitely not the worst thing you can say about him. All right, yes, oh, look at that. And there's actual Georgians. Hello. Macon, Georgia. What did you want me to say?
Before the little kid with the glasses. That's great.
Hey, well, I mean, it's a kid-friendly show.
There are a lot of children in this crowd. Either that
Somebody just ripped the Hulk Hogan head off of the little doll. Jesus Christ. A little star or something. That's great. Okay, so here's last week on Nitro, where all Randy Savage beats Ming.
By the way, everybody grabs the tights.
Well, Randy's a good guy, so he's grabbing the tights. Oh, and he gets attacked from behind by the shark. It's a shark attack. Shark attack. Shark attack. Oh, no. And Kevin Sullivan's going to hit him with a knee.
Is this a horrific injury?
Yes, right here. Right here. Look, look what Lex Luger does. Oh, my goodness. Look what Lex Luger did.
Okay.
He ripped his arm clean off.
Sure he did.
Oh, and he's ramming his arm into the post. Oh, no. That arm might be broken. And Lex Luger wearing pinstripes, folks.
Is he wearing, like, is the shirt attached to the pants or is it tucked in?
I think it's tucked in. I think they're like his pajamas or something. I don't know.
Because this is an awkward outfit.
I mean, honest to God, this looks like...
trying to figure out how he gets it on and gets it off and pees. And yeah. That is exactly what I thought of course.
Yeah, he's wearing, like it looks like he's wearing pajama pants and got a matching tank top somewhere.
It's like an adult romper, and it's just very weird. And
it's disturbing can't imagine, when you think of it that way.
Can't imagine who would have made that in his size.
Somebody did. Well, you can buy anything on the internet.
The internet didn't really exist, or
no? I mean, well, you had AOL.
They wouldn't have renamed IRS VK Wall Street. They would have come with something. Yeah. So this was not the angel phase of Big Bubba Rogers.
No, they got past Guardian Angel, and they thought, well, you know, Big Bubba. At least we came up with that. So
they couldn't have come up with that first.
You would think. Well, their original idea was calling him the boss. And they were surprised when WWF came calling and said, hey, you know, come on, just try a little more. So Guardian Angel.
I'm pretty sure they said something meaner than try a little more, but okay.
Well, this is also a family show. All right, so there he is, Road Warrior Hulk.
Road Warrior is all one word.
Sure, why not? They weren't big on spelling and grammar. They occasionally made mistakes on their chyron.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Road Warrior Hawk is in the 60-man World War III battle.
Grown men in the audience.
Well, yeah, and? Grown men are listening to this show.
Okay, if you insist.
That's what I hear. People with mullets are listening.
That is a mullet. Ooh, boy.
That's the mullet.
That is some commitment to the mullet. Okay, Hawk is starting this before the bell.
This is professional wrestling where mullets never go out of style, and we're underway. Look how spry Big Bubba looks. I mean, especially when you look at him back in his back in the late 80s.
Yeah. Yep. It's strange that they didn't give him an Amish gimmick based on how much this reminds me of Roadkill.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I don't think people would have bought. I think after seeing
people wouldn't have believed he was Amish after that.
Yeah, people wouldn't.
Yeah, people wouldn't. What if it just fell into the ring? Is that a roll of quarters?
Roll of quarters, yes. Yes. Now guess which one of the three announcers picks up on that roll of quarters being there?
Bobby Heenan.
Nope.
The dog. The tiny dog.
Well, the dog might have tipped McMichael off. Yes, everybody's trying to get into World War III Battle Royal, according to Eric Bischoff. Oh, no.
Who is it that came up with where the big boys play?
It wasn't me. Wasn't me. That's all I know.
Is this like championship title opportunity where they decided that they had to say it? It was a corporate slogan. They copyrighted it and then they insisted on using it.
Yes. Something like that. Yeah. They said it all the time. Well, in 1989, they had WCW. This is where we, NWA, this is where we wrestle, you know, as opposed to WWF.
Which was the most like obvious slogan. No.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard worse. All right, Bubba getting some offense in. Good job, Bubba.
Bubba has polka dot suspenders.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Kind of weird.
At least he's wearing suspenders. His pants aren't falling down.
He's not pulling up his pants every 3 seconds.
Exactly.
Surprised that none of Road Warrior Hawk's paint is on Bubba's shirt yet.
Oh, there we go. Ah, nice one.
It didn't work out for Road Warrior Hawk.
All right.
A strange amount of selling for him in this match.
Well, you know, you're going to have to sell some. You're in there with a guy the size of Bubba. Oh, shit, up, plus so the Hawkins.
Did they not have Animal in the promotion? Or?
No. Well, they had broken. They had split up. They had split up after Hawk's drug problems got him run out of WWF.
So Animal did not go with him to WCW?
No, he did not. They'd get back together, though. Don't worry.
Would it seem somewhat logical, but no.
Yeah. No, in fact, I think Hawk ended up going to New Japan for a while and becoming one half of the Hellraisers.
Who is the other half?
Kensuke Sasaki, of course.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but
Well, if I told you he was Japanese, would that help?
That pretty much seemed like a given.
All right, well, Hawk's going up, folks.
No, oh, there's the WCW cameraman who he's Hawk right had to well, he's walk
got that,
around.
He's got that great shot of Hawk that they're not going to. No. These guys never figured out that, you know, close-ups on wrestlers doing wrestling moves might not be exactly what you want. Now, Steve McMichael figures out he's got it. Steve McMichael is watching the monitor and sees that he has a roll of quarters. But Bischoff and Heenan do not. Well, Bobby's pretending he doesn't know anyway.
Why didn't he put the tape back in his...
Oh, no! Jim Duggan! Hacksaw Jim Duggan came out and ripped to Bubba because he's feuding with Bubba. And they're going to have a tape fist match on pay-per-view.
Seriously?
Oh. All right, so Road Warrior Hawk with a big win here in Macon, Georgia.
Did not see that coming.
Hawk
the
beating
cameraman
Bubba?
Is shooting Big Bubba right now, and we are not seeing it.
They're saving that for the director's cut.
Did it not occur to Big Bubba that he could get, like, brass knucks? It'd be a lot easier than taping a roll of quarters to his fist?
Well, that would make sense to me, but, yeah.
Were brass knuckles, like, very expensive in 1995?
I don't know if there was a run on brass. look, there we go. Let's watch it again. Oh, see, he hit his own head. His head landed on the roll of quarters, and he was...
Oh, is it. That what happened?
It looks like it busted. It looks like it busted him open a little bit. So, yeah.
He is actually wearing, like, dress shoes.
He's Bubba Rogers. He's the man.
This is a strange... Strange angle.
Okay. All right, there we go. What is the Dungeon of Doom going to do when they all get in the ring at the same time? Well, I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
I don't remember either, Steve McMichael. Maybe the dog knows.
It's been a long time since I watched that show. Hulk Hogan and Sting coming your way right after this. Whatever you do, don't leave. You wouldn't want to watch anything decent. You know.
So Hulk Hogan shaving off the mustache was really supposed to make fans like him?
No. See, he was acting like a bad guy, more so than usual. And his idea that would work and that would make the fans cheer him. And, you know, he wasn't entirely wrong. He just.
Oh, okay. By the way, I have a State Farm commercial right now.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody's standing. Here we go, baby. Let me pause it at 30 minutes and 47 seconds so we can all wait for State Farm to get done with Sarah.
Yeah.
30 minutes and 47 seconds, folks.
Okay. All right, I gotta work on that. We're like almost there.
State Farm has not paid for advertising on this show, by the way. So anybody from State Farm's listening, you know, I can tell you where to send the
All
show.
Right. Now we can start again.
Okay, nice day to start again. All right, here we go. There's fans holding action figures, and there is Sting.
Tiny little Sting.
Sting.
Wait, Sting. Does Sting have brown hair? Sting.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
I think Sting is afraid of his own pyro.
Well, that would be a little. He's got brown. He's got blonde tips.
Is he afraid the fringe is going to go up? There's a lot of fringe here.
Yes.
Like somebody saw that Roger Daltrey Who footage and was like, you know what? Let's bring back fringe.
It's like lunatic fringe. Ding, ding, ding.
I think it's more Roger Daltrey Who jacket, but okay.
It's a nice jacket.
It's a very sparkly jacket.
I'm surprised it's not in Conrad. I'm surprised it's not in Conrad Thompson's closet right now. Assuming it's not.
Somebody should bring back sequins sparkly jackets.
I'm okay with that. I thought Bobby Roode was going to do that. Did not happen.
Nobody's got any fringe either. Well, I guess Hangman Page had fringe last week.
Yeah, Hangman. Yeah, Hangman.
Brian Danielson was very mean to his Roger Daltrey new jacket.
I know. Mean Brian Danielson.
Wow.
He's a man called Sting. Oh, wait. WCW is declaring war this Sunday.
What happens when you don't eat meat?
Biggest battle royal in history.
Card subject to change.
Yes, thank goodness. Yes. Because they did not have three giants, one in each ring. El Gigante was not able to make the trip. So, and I'm not
out of all the giants, that's the giant that couldn't make it.
Yep. Well, South Africa to America. That's South America to Virginia's long trip. I'm told.
Okay. Yeah. You say so.
They brought in the One Man Gang though, so that's close enough.
Who was not?
Although in terms of giant, the One Man Gang is more wide than he is tall. So.
Yeah.
He's in good shape today, though. All right.
Basti crowd is apparently on their feet.
Oh, there's Randy Savage.
Randy Savage with a grievous arm injury. He still managed to do his bandana.
Well, you can tell because his arm is in a sling. Somebody probably helped him with the bandana. Oh, it's psychological warfare. That pyro is psychological warfare, I guess.
He's got some fringy boots there. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with the Jim Valley explanation for Randy Savage. Randy Savage in a bandana. Cool Randy Savage. Randy Savage in a cowboy hat. Not the best Randy Savage. Well, I mean, it tracks, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. The bandana was probably easier to pack.
Oh, look, Hogan sneaking into the crowd wearing a mask.
Is he lost? Oh.
He's wearing a mask.
Why is he wearing a mask like he's the Lone Ranger?
Yes, that is a Lone Ranger mask. Very nice. Very good. Well, it's a disguise.
Is Sting the only person that can't, like...
This is Sting.
The referee can't turn around. The referee didn't see a man come into the ring.
This is the same Sting who got turned on by Ric Flair at Halloween Havoc the month before.
Is Hulk Hogan going to wrestle in cowboy boots?
Of course he is. He's Hulk Hogan.
Is he bad Hulk Hogan right now?
No, he's Ted Mosby Hulk Hogan. He's totally pulling it off.
So wait, he just took off his Lone Ranger mask. So now we all know it's Hulk Hogan, and he has no mustache.
Brother.
So was Hulk Hogan wearing black supposed to make the crowd like him?
They're worried he's turning bad, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, that was the idea.
Because the WCW crowd cheers the heels and they boo the baby faces.
That's the theory, yes.
So was his reverse psychology logic, if he was a bad guy, they would cheer him?
Yes.
You should have glued that bandana onto
it. They did. They did cheer him more after he turned bad and took over the NWO.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes.
He's wrestling in cowboy boots.
Well, that must be why he slipped there. So.
I think he could afford wrestling boots, but that's just.
Of course he can, but he's being Ted Mosby.
Who is Ted Mosby?
How I Met Your Mother. Never mind.
Okay. Congratulations, you found the one sitcom that I have to bother to watch.
Ted got a ridiculous pair of red boots and kept claiming he could totally pull it off. So.
Oh, okay.
And look, a not quite as ridiculous pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah,
the cowboy boots, that's disrespectful, really.
This makes no sense.
It's WCW. You want it to make sense.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well. Another drop kick. And out goes Hogan.
So how old was Hulk Hogan right here?
He's probably, I don't know.
I can take pounding salt off of my Wikipedia.
Yes, I know. As I know, somebody at Google is going to say, oh, hey.
Really? It doesn't want to tell me how old he was? What is 95 minus 53?
42.
Oh. He was my age here.
Wow.
And I would not have worn cowboy boots during a match because those have a heel on them and your back is going to hurt later. What are you thinking, Hulk Hogan?
Well, that's why he's got the weight belt to support his back.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. All right.
Did somebody not tell Sting that he could actually just dye all of his hair brown and not have roots?
Who would have told him that? His wife, I guess, could have told him
the
that.
The lady at the CVS?
I don't know.
Any teenage girl?
It was the 90s. People had weird hair.
Okay, sure they did.
Well, they did. All right, crossbody. Oh, Sting's in trouble, boy. He's trying to shake off that wicked crossbody from Hulk Hogan.
How are Sting and Hulk Hogan, like, so winded in this match already? Brian Pillman and Eddie Guerrero had way more energy.
They're out of shape. I don't know.
Sting doesn't look out of shape.
No, he doesn't. What's the pity? Well, Hogan was actually, you know, trying to work here, so I can understand where, you know, I can understand where he was. He might be a little winded. Plus, wrestling, you know, you need really good
shirt.
You need really good cardio to be a wrestler. I'm saying this as somebody who didn't have really good cardio and wrestled.
I know. Why is Hulk Hogan wearing a shirt?
Because he's not that. I guess he's not as ripped as he'd like to be.
I'm pretty sure he's more ripped than the Shark.
Well, maybe he's just not. Maybe he's just not happy with the way he looks. I don't know.
I don't think Hulk Hogan is working this arm very hard.
You know? Okay, there we go. There we
maybe
go.
Maybe he shouldn't have worn cowboy
heard you.
Boots.
He heard you, and now he's really twisting that wrist. All right, Sting working the arm. Here we go, Sting.
I think the cowboy boots are affecting his performance.
I think you're right. Okay. Oh, there we go. Work that arm. Work that shoulder. Ah, yeah. Pull his nostrils.
Well, he
can
just kick him with his damn cowboy boots, and this would be all over with. Did Sting just bite Hulk Hogan?
I hope not.
What is wrong with these men?
You don't know where that guy's been.
Bunch of bitey men here. Mm.
This is for the championship of the world. Oh, World War III is for the championship of the world. This is just a wrestling match. Neither of these guys are champion because nobody's a champion. I've never seen anything like this before, says Steve McMichael, who I guess has never seen a wrestling match.
Either that or the dog is doing something at the desk over there.
Yeah, well, he's probably seen that, though, whatever it is. He's looking for that carotid artery. Yeah, that's what Hogan's doing, I'm sure.
Okay. Is the carotid artery in Sting's ear? Because that's where the headlock is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. All right, here we go. Sting shoots him off.
Not that headlock. Randy will teach him something about headlocks.
Yes, Randy is the headlock.
Although they are moving around way more than Randy Orton would move for a headlock. Mm. Did you see Raw this Monday?
On purpose? No.
Oh. Well, Randy
I was busy preparing for this match.
Smiled at Matt Riddle at the end of their match, like as if he was riding a camel.
When I see you smile.
I think Randy was just imagining what it would be like to ride a camel. Why is the crowd looking off in a direction?
Maybe there's an actual fight going on in the stands, or maybe they're waiting for somebody to run in. Because this is the last match on Nitro, they might be waiting for somebody to run in and attack the guys in the ring.
From the crowd area where Hulk Hogan came in from?
Well, that would be where he looked.
Sting is kicking him behind the knee. Is Sting supposed to be the babyface in this match?
They're both supposed to be babyfaces.
Oh, not the bear hug. Black.
Not the bear hug. Not that. Anything but that.
So why isn't the first of all, this is not a very good bear hug.
No.
I've given more grippy hugs, but
you give grippy bear hugs?
not really, but I was a child once. Just the once, but still.
Okay. Let's see. All right, so
well, we're shooting the cameraman again.
Come on, Hogan, let's go.
At ringside is not interested in taking photos of any of this. He's just sort of got a look on his face.
How could you be disinterested in this great action? All right. Here we go. We're going to do the belly to back.
Brian
belly to back suplex.
Guerrero did more impressive moves earlier. I'm going to go with that.
Yes, I think everybody noticed that.
Is this like our 800th body slam?
Well, maybe.
Is this where the action is, though, Eric Bischoff? Is it?
It's better than Larry Zbysko doing the on the when they were doing episodes of the syndicated shows. Larry Zbyszko would sit there doing commentary and count the number of clotheslines in Nasty Boys matches.
That seems like a
read Larry's book
thing to do.
Read Larry's book. Oh no, not the back of the knee again. Oh my God.
All right, Sting is really a baby face in this match here, is he?
Well, if he's beating up Hulk Hogan, he's a baby face as far as these people are concerned. So yeah. WCW fans did not like Hulk Hogan. Here comes the Scorpion Deathlock. Scorpion Deathlock. No way for Hogan to get out of that.
So Hogan. Is Macho Man going to interfere at this point? Or?
Well, that wouldn't be a very babyface thing to do, would it?
Well, why is Bobby Heenan saying happy trails? Also, why is the cameraman shooting something that clearly is not being aired right now?
I don't know. Oh. He's going to Hulk up here. Watch there. Time to Hulk up.
How are you hulking up without the mustache?
He is, nonetheless. What an inspirational man Hulk Hogan is. I didn't say it.
You said it out loud, Pat.
I didn't say it on the broadcast, though. I'm quoting from the closed captioning. Big boot. Oh, time to drop the drop the big leg. Although he's limping, so.
Oh, that is what murdered Sting. Probably because it was a cowboy boot, not a wrestling boot.
I think so. Oh no, he landed on his own. He landed and tried to do a leg drop in his cowboy boot, and it didn't work. And now here goes Sting. He's going to take advantage of the situation.
How does Sting have confetti on him? Where did he even get confetti from?
Johnny B. Badd probably had some.
Sure.
Oh, he's hugging referee Pee Wee Anderson.
Whatever happened to that man?
Oh, it's the Zodiac. No, it's the Zodiac and the Shark and Hugh Morris.
Really?
And the Dungeon of Doom. The Dungeon of Doom is attacking both Sting and Hogan.
Came out at the end of this match. Oh, the cameraman's on the apron again. Oh, is that Haku?
Yeah, Ming. He is Ming in WCW.
Ming, whatever. Yes, he'll be Haku to me for all of time.
Yeah. Oh, Hogan. Oh, it's the Giant. No, not the Giant. Not that. Anything but that. And Hogan and Sting do not see the 7-foot man walking up behind them.
Of course they don't.
Uh-oh. Randy's going to hit them with the chair. Oh, there we go. Randy makes the save. He didn't want to hit him with the chair before he tried to get the guys up in the chokeslam. Oh, and Randy hurt his arm.
So basically the Giant is just standing in the ring.
Ah, not for long. Oh, there we go. Oh, the Giant's a killer.
Poor Randy Savage's arm, which was in no way, shape, or form injured in that move.
Oh, no. Hold on. Hogan and Sting are ready. Oh, my goodness.
So, wait. Are Hogan and Sting working together now that they've just had a match?
Yes, of course they are.
This makes absolutely no sense.
They're both good guys, and they've been attacked by the bad guys.
Okay.
Oh, and it takes the entire Dungeon of Doom to hold the Giant back to keep him from going after Sting.
Why are they holding him back? Didn't they come out there to interrupt the match? Yeah.
Oh, look, now we cut back the announce table, and Kevin Sullivan's trying to beat up Bobby Heenan for some reason.
Oh, this is what happened to Bobby Heenan's earphone doohickeys.
You have no right. Get out of here, you Kevin
Sullivan.
It looks
like Heenan inflicted that injury on his own headset. Where's the dog at? Did the dog escape this carnage?
Yes, the dog ran away when he saw Kevin Sullivan. Actually, the dog should have run away a half hour ago.
Michael is very angry.
He's very angry. His dog has run away from him.
His dog is no longer with him.
Kevin Sullivan is a psycho.
You know, him dear God.
Very upsetting, folks. Very, very, very upsetting.
Eric Bischoff looks apoplectic here.
Testing.
So all the fans that were behind them earlier are gone now.
Because the show's over. They had the last match. These people know that that Hogan and Sting are over. They're not going to send Dave Sullivan and the Gambler back out there to wrestle.
I'm sure the Gambler is still in the building.
Not if he's smart. They've run over time. Oh, I apologize to whoever's got the show at 10 o'clock at World War III. And Bobby Heenan's headset is broken.
I know. He pulled that side off himself.
Bobby Heenan needs insurance. All right, folks, that's it. That is WCW Monday Nitro for November 20th, 1995, just 3 days before Thanksgiving that year. All right, so, you can end it now. All right, thank you. Go to the break.
I'm not going to end it all now, Pat.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Okay, well, we're back from the break by now. So you're probably wondering, you want to check out the reviews of the show? Sure you do. Actually, they didn't really have reviews like they do now, but I can quote from Dave Meltzer.
Dave Meltzer did not give this 7 stars. Is that what
you're... he did not. He did give Eddie Guerrero and Brian Pillman 3 stars for their match.
They did a decent match.
Yeah.
And they both wear the same color.
Okay, so quoting from Dave Meltzer, even though WWF had overall by far the superior show, as is usually the case, WCW won the night with the Hogan-Sting match by drawing a 2.5 rating and a 3.6 share to the WWF's 2.3 rating and 3.3 share. I'd like to point out that Vince McMahon would run over your mother to get a show with a 2.3 rating in 2021.
Yes, he would.
Neither figure can be considered successful. The Hogan-Sting Dream match drew a lower number than the Ric Flair-Arn Anderson cage match, which shows, even with the best match possible, Hogan has no juice left to have a major impact on ratings. The match itself was largely flat live and had a weak finish, 1.5 stars. So WCW is going to have a difficult time popping a rating again when they play something up so big and deliver so little. Actually, that's not true, Dave. They'd be doing that for the next 2 years, at least. Meanwhile, over on PW Torch, we have Wade Keller's reaction. WCW officials were hoping for a 3.0 rating or higher, but at the same time feared an embarrassing ratings loss. They came closer to being embarrassed. After a stunning loss to the WWF on November 13th, the November 20th Nitro provided what should have been a surefire ratings winner, Hulk Hogan versus Sting, and said they barely edged by posting a 2.5 rating, while the WWF pushed a 2.3 rating. The replay of Nitro drew a disappointing 0.9 rating. The two main weekend shows that promoted Sting versus Hogan drew a 2.3 for WCW Saturday night and a 1.8 for WCW main event, which is in line for previous weekend ratings. Thus, the Hogan and Sting hype did not instantly add interest in the product. WCW believes the strong Monday Night Football matchup hurt the overall viewing at audience. Well, that would be, I guess that could be true, except that that game was a blowout and over pretty early. The feeling within WCW was that the WWF did a better overall job on Monday night, and they may have dropped the ball on Hogan versus Sting by not promoting it long enough and ending with a lame run-in finish. Okay, well, that's fair.
So the next week on WCW, Hulk Hogan was back to being a good guy because he burned a black T-shirt.
Well, yeah, actually. That's a good point.
Well, it's just played.
Okay, well.
Now I'm imagining Steve McMichael picking out outfits for that dog, and I don't even know how that happens because this is weird.
Yes.
The dog, different outfit.
Well, you know
what?
Strange. I will say this about Vince Russo. He probably would have done a skit with Steve McMichael picking out outfits for the dog.
He probably would have.
So if you're wondering what happened next, well, for WCW, they aired their WCW Saturday Night Show on the 25th, which had Luger beating Jerry Lynn and a pre-taped match with Chris Benoit beating Eddie Guerrero. Meanwhile, the next night was Tuesday the 21st. WWF taped Superstars and more episodes of Raw in Salisbury, Maryland. Do you want to hear about the episodes of Superstars they taped?
Sure.
Okay, the first episode, it was headlined by Psycho Sid and the 1-2-3 Kid defeating Hakushi and Barry Horowitz. Second episode.
Hakushi and Barry Horowitz a team?
You got to go back.
What terrible thing did Hakushi do to get stuck?
Go ahead and listen to our 1995, SummerSlam 95 episodes. They'll explain all that. Basically, Hakushi was helping Barry Horowitz in his feud with Chris Candido.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the next episode of Superstars, Savio Vega and Bob Backlund went to a double countout. And the third episode of Superstars, Ahmed Johnson defeats Isaac Yankum by disqualification.
Oh, dear sweet Isaac Yankum.
And the go home show for the December In Your House pay-per-view was the December 11th Raw, which took place then. Bret Hart defeats Bob Backlund by disqualification when Davey Boy Smith interferes.
Those Bob Backlund matches were so exciting.
Yes, they were. All right, ECW, they were supposed to have a Thanksgiving show in Danbury, Connecticut, but it got canceled. So on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, they ran Salisbury Beach, Maryland in front of 275 people, where it was Public Enemy defeating the Dudleys, Bubba Ray Dudley, and Dances with Dudley. And in the main event, ECW champion Mikey Whipwreck defeated the Sandman. Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Probably not the beachy gimmick.
What's that?
Probably not with his beachy gimmick from last week's original ECW.
Nope. Meanwhile, Smoky Mountain Wrestling started their Thanksgiving Thunder weekend in Knoxville in front of 1,100 people, who got to see Brad Armstrong beat Terry Gordy in a country whipping match to win the Smoky Mountain title. And in the main event, the Heavenly Bodies and Robert Gibson faced the Thugs and their mystery partner, who turned out to be the returning Ricky Morton. The bad guy still.
That is more people than what ECW drew.
Yes, it is. But not as many people as the USWA drew for a Wednesday night show in Memphis on November the 22nd. 1,150 people tuned in, showed up at the Mid-South Coliseum to watch Jerry Lawler defeat the unified champion Ahmed Johnson by disqualification. Meanwhile, Jesse James Armstrong beat Jeff Jarrett in the main event. So the Armstrongs win control over the USWA, and they get SM Smoky Mountain Wrestling back.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Saturday after Thanksgiving was the end. Jim Cornette, that was the last show. Smoky Mountain Wrestling was $29,000 in debt, and Jim Cornette was not anxious to accrue more debt.
He would have had to have given up Castle Cornette. I don't think he was going to do that.
No, I don't think so. All right. Oh, and guess what time it is, Sarah?
I don't know. What time is it, Pat?
It's time to vote on our next set of shows. That's your favorite time. Yes, it is. All right, so let's look at. Okay, so the last time we had a vote, you voted for this show, the Nitro, and that was my choice. So I guess I won that. Yay me! And aren't we all happy about that? So
we are delighted.
Yes. Okay, so let me look through the listener choices, all the listener suggestions, and pick out one that would be appropriate for what's coming up here. And you know what? My good buddy Chip suggested Starrcade 85. Which was the Thanksgiving Day of 85, a show that took place in two locations. They switched back and forth between Charlotte and Atlanta, which gave Vince McMahon the idea for WrestleMania 2 being in three locations.
Oh, dear God.
Yes. Starrcade 85. Let me see if I can remember this. It's Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes in the main event, of course, because why wouldn't you? And
you didn't have polka dots, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the other big match on there.
I bet Ric Flair had colored tights.
That's right. Lots of colored tights.
Match the tights.
Yep, Ric Flair was the man in 85. So, yeah, Flair. Okay, let me go find my WCW section. And I'll pull that up and we'll... Okay, there's Starrcades. All right, there's 18 different Starcades. Who can believe it? That's a lot of Starcades, kid. All right, so 18 Star, yep, and they screwed it up almost from the stop. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes for the World Heavyweight Championship, daddy. Let's see. I want to say there was a street fight in Atlanta, in the Atlanta main event. I'm trying to remember who it was, but I want to say Jimmy Valiant and Miss Atlanta Lively against the Midnight Express in a street fight, in the Atlanta street fight.
Okay.
That sounds right for some reason. Starcade 85, like, The Gathering.
I don't know.
You don't? Well, I guess you don't. No?
I don't.
Well, yep, that was quite a deal. But yeah, half the show was in, yeah, see, they had bought out, they had bought out Ole Anderson, so they had the rights to run Atlanta. So instead of trying to run the traditional Thanksgiving show in in Greensboro and the one in Atlanta, they decided to just do the one closed circuit / pay-per-view show in both places, switching back and forth. So yeah, okay, I got it. It's Dusty versus Ric Flair in Greensboro. And in Atlanta, it is the Russians defending the tag team titles against the Rock and Roll Express.
Okay.
All right, there
I'm
we go.
Sure okay. I had a crush on Ricky Morton.
You did? Okay.
Yes, I did.
He's still around, you know.
He's a six-year-old girl.
He's got a website and a podcast.
Oh, dear God.
Everybody has a podcast, though, so really that doesn't count.
Okay.
Okay, but yeah, that's okay. So yeah, Starcade 85 is the listener's suggestion, and I think that's a fine one. But what do I know? Do you want to go next? Do you have anything in mind?
I have nothing in mind, Pat.
Oh dear. Well, I'll give you a moment to think about it then. I guess I'll come up with mine. All right. So, you know, we have not done a Survivor Series this year, and Survivor Series is over, obviously, and it's going to be 10 days until our next show, which will be like December the 4th or something like that. So. So the rule is 15 years or more. So we're eligible to do the 2006 Survivor Series, folks. Do you remember what the main event was of that?
I'm guessing it wasn't Brakus. No. Randy Orton, John Cena.
No, the main event was actually King Booker defending the World Heavyweight title against Dave Bautista.
Damn. There had to have been a Randy Orton, John Cena.
Yes, there were. I'm getting to that. There was the big feud between Raw and ECW still going on. So it was John Cena's team versus Team John Cena versus Team Big Show. And the other big Survivor Series match, ready for this, Team DX versus Team Rated RKO.
What was Team DX? How were there
Team that DX. People? There were five. It was a 5-on-5. Well, DX is Shawn Michaels and Triple H. And the team members they chose, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, and CM Punk, not making this up, against Team Rated RKO, which is Randy Orton and Edge, and Gregory Helms, and Mike Knox, and I want to say Test. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah. Yeah. Mike Knox and somebody else. I don't know. Anyway.
Wait, who is the DX team again?
Again, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, CM Punk and the Hardys.
How were CM Punk and the Hardys in DX?
Well, again, it's Team DX. They're not. DX were the captains.
Yeah. I got that. It just doesn't.
That's who they chose. That's who DX chose.
Also, how was CM Punk not the captain?
Because it's DX's. Because it's DX's team. Because CM Punk is not married to the daughter of the owner of the company.
Well. He should have thought about that when he picked out his wife.
I guess he should have. What was he thinking?
He didn't, fall in love with the right woman.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Here we go. All right. So yeah, Team Rated RKO is, I'm wrong. Edge, Randy Orton, Gregory Helms, Johnny Nitro, AKA John Morrison, and Mike Knox.
So how long before Johnny Morrison becomes Johnny Dynamite?
I don't know. He might become Johnny Rampage.
Oh, there's that too.
As long as he's not Johnny Dark, I think he's in good shape.
Yeah, or Johnny Dark Elevation.
Ooh, that's a much better name. I like that one.
Although he could fight with a member of the Acclaimed every week. I'm sure they'd figure that out somehow.
Yeah, I think they could. All right, so what do you have, Sarah?
I'm gonna. Have you done December to Dismember yet?
No, and there's a reason for that.
Is why?
It was a terrible show.
Oh, come on.
I mean, it was a terrible show. I mean, do you want to do December to Dismember?
Well, it's a poll, Pat.
Okay. I mean, I...
The people can make the show lose. And I do mean the ECW show from December 3rd, 2006.
Okay, if that's what you want. This is the Elimination Chamber match at December to Dismember for the ECW title. Oh, God. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to me?
Well, Hardcore Holly was on the show, apparently.
Well, of course he was.
Joey Mercury was still with Johnny Nitro.
That's right.
You know, Joey Mercury could also appear in AEW. I don't know what his new name would be.
I don't know either. Okay, so... Yeah, let's see. Okay, so yeah, it was the Extreme Elimination Chamber, and let me see the other great.
It was on Sci-Fi before Sci-Fi changed.
And I guess the second most important match would have to be the Hardys versus Nitro and Mercury. Yeah, that would probably have to be the second most important.
Critics had a negative reaction to the pay-per-view.
No kidding. Yeah, I was one of those critics. I think Vince McMahon had a negative reaction to the pay-per-view because he
4 out of 10 stars.
Oh God, geez, we were being generous with that crap. God, if we did that. Okay, so now is the important part, Sarah. Now is the part where we break out the randomizer. You know all about the randomizer.
Okay, I'm gonna pretend to know all about the randomizer.
It's the big wheel.
Okay.
Big wheel we spin to determine which the random choice is that goes in the poll, okay?
Oh, okay.
And we have all manner of selections on the wheel. Let's see here. Let me get out the list of categories on the wheel. Oh, good God. Yes, okay. All right, and we'll give the wheel a big spin. We have, come on. Well, there we go. We have World Class Wrestling, World Championship Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling, WWE pay-per-views, TNA Asylum shows, Ring of Honor, and we stop at... Oh, no. You know who that is?
No, I don't.
It's not coming through on the microphone?
It feels WCWE.
No.
Is it the Dungeon of Doom?
No, this is the theme to... This is the ECW theme from, like, 98
on. Okay.
That's right. It is ECW on TNN. Yes, ECW on the Nashville Network. And it is ECW on TNN for, believe it or not, December 31st, 1999. On that show.
I actually watched ECW then.
Yes. You get to see Super, if you pick that, you get to see Super Crazy versus Tajiri and Masato Tanaka versus Mike Awesome. That's about as good as ECW got in December of 99. Trust me. Okay, so there's your choices.
Wasn't Rollerball on that same station?
Roller Jam.
Okay.
Yes, Don Callis every week. Remember that?
Yeah.
Rockin' Bowl and Roller Jam.
Don Callis should figure out how to bring back Roller Jam references on AEW.
That's true. But that would involve bringing back Roller Jam, and I'm not sure that was ever going to happen.
Well, I'm sure one of the Young Bucks can get like a Roller Jam adult male romper.
You're thinking the Young Bucks should bring back Roller Jam?
No, I'm just saying he could get a Roller Jam themed adult male romper. I think that.
I don't see that ending well somehow.
And then they can send me a check for that idea.
Oh, okay. Well,
that'll be great.
Well, Tony Khan does send checks, so you know. I mean that part is at least plausible. Okay, so there's your choices, folks. Boy, Starrcade '85 you can choose Jim Crockett Promotions. You can choose the Survivor Series. You can choose the WWE version of ECW, or you can choose the ECW version of ECW. Either way, we are here for you.
Okay.
And visit us go ahead and vote. Vote on Twitter. I'm at RealPatMcNeil, MCNEILL. Jim is at Jim Valley. You can say hi to him. Sarah is at Esoteric Sarah. You can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. And if you'd like to know more about Scott Norton, The Shark, Ric Flair, Eddie Guerrero, or Brian Pillman, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app because they're all in books. Sarah?
Is this the same Wayback
Yes.
Time, same playback channel spot?
Yes.
All right. Do you want me?
Yes.
Do you want me to say it again?
Yeah, if you could do the line correctly, yes, that would be wonderful.
What is the line? Because that's
You said you told me you had written it down and it was on paper in front of you. Okay, what does it say?
Do I have to say join us at the same Wayback Time on the same playback channel?
No, you say join us next week, same way back.
Oh, back next week. Jesus. All right.
Jesus is not joining us next week, at least not necessarily.
Now I have to write more
words. Okay.
So this will be very effective.
Okay,
all right. So, join us next week on the same Wayback Time, same playback channel.
Yes. And then giggle some more. No? Okay. No love.
Are there more words to
them? Oh, no, it's fine. Okay, and thank you for joining us for the special Thanksgiving episode, which explains why we don't... No, there is no episode on Sunday. This is it. Join us a week from Sunday, and we'll be back with something new. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody!
And I will be very surprised if there's that ECW pay-per-view on there.
Me too.